Samuel L. Bronkowitz presents Technorama episode 349 for July 25th, 2012, The Bane of My Existence.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history. And now, the news. What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Everyone keeps asking me, where is that hellhole prison you were kept?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for July 25th, 2012. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the show! If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good. Thanks.
You know, Lisa saw that on opening night, and she said there were a couple people that were talking like that the whole time.
I gotta go to the bathroom. Watch my popcorn.
I only do that when I got a cold.
And right. We also have Julie with us. Welcome back, Julie.
It's good to be back.
She has finished her summer job and now no longer has to get up at 4 in the morning.
Good Lord. 4 in the morning.
It was done by 1,
what are you
though.
Doing? What are you doing, working on a garbage truck or something?
No, I was a factory.
You were doing what now?
It was like a factory job, processing distribution center. It was boring.
It was kind of like a local version of Amazon. Go get the stuff, put it in a bucket, ship it off to the customer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. At 4 in the morning, wow. Well, I guess you had to get things out on time, right?
We are here for the next 45 minutes to mess with your mind. And some of the things we're going to mess with coming up in the show, we have a slight adjustment to the Mayan doomsday calendar due to leap seconds. We have lost your keys. We have an answer for that. And beer made of cow dung. None of that and more coming up right after this.
Mmm, tasty.
Do you drool over cutting-edge technology? Are you the first in line for the latest sci-fi movie? Do you stay up late at night playing video games? Do you consider being called a geek a badge of honor? Then Geek Cred is the show for you. Join me, Steve Rickyberg, as I bring you in-depth behind-the-scenes interviews to give you the inside scoop on everything geek. From tech to sci-fi to games, you name it, we geek it. Geek Cred, are you geek enough? To download and subscribe, visit www.geekcred.net and get your geek on.
I have not tried this yet, so this is an untested product.
Anything smart, we're getting rid of it. Download them all, which I like. Platypus, Sapair, and The Wiz. And you look under the word geek in the dictionary and you'll see us there.
Really?
Yes.
You did this to me!
Please hang up and try again.
Hey, every week we do the show live, and we want to invite you to join us on Google Plus or just head over to the website. And wow, voice went really high on that part, didn't it?
Yeah. Are you going through puberty again?
Yeah. Head over to the website.
You were just so excited about it.
On Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern time, and you will see little things between the clips that are craftily edited out and replaced with stock clips that you won't hear unless you watch it live and join us in the chat room. Mad Marv says, hi, Julie. See, you even
Hello,
get
Mad
little
Marv.
Live interactive things. You can interact with the show.
And it's personalized, too.
That's right. And 9:30 Eastern, Sunday night, we also have a birthday calendar that we use online. It's high tech and everything. It uses this internet thing. And this week, the birthday kids are Aaron Heath from Adelaide, Australia on July 26th. July 27th is wife of the Will the Computer Guy. Here we have another family reminder, apparently.
Yeah, hint, hint, Will.
Since this comes out on Wednesday the 25th, you might want to listen soon. If it's after the fact, shame on you for not listening sooner. Sean Farrell, host of the Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing podcast. We've talked to him, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
He's on July 29th. The 30th
been a while, actually.
Is Brian Hunt, a.k.a. Zaphod Beeblebrox. And
actually, I think that's more like Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
It's spelled
Biblox.
Blah, 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 blah. Hey, that's like the Flintstones. Hello, I'm Mr. Blah, 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 blah.
Zaphod Building Blocks.
Yeah.
July 31st is the wedding anniversary of Will the Computer Guy. Will, you've got some work to do here.
Yeah, no kidding.
You better get your Amazon overnight orders in quickly.
And by the way, I don't think it's 9 years anymore.
We needed somebody with a birthday on the 28th. Then we'd have like a flush. 26, 27, 29, 30, 31. Flush.
Come on, never mind. That was a stupid gambling joke.
If it's your birthday this week and you're not on the calendar, head over to the wiki, put it on there so we can call you out next week. Otherwise, happy birthday to you.
And anniversary.
And if you need any other more personal reminders via the internet, we're here to do that.
Forget Google Calendar. Da, da, da.
On this day in history for July 25th, 2012, it was on this date in 1788 that Wolfgang Mozart completes his Symphony No. 40 in G minor, K550.
The first commercial use of electric telegraph is successfully demonstrated by William Cook and Charles Whetstone on 25th of July in 1837 between Euston and Camden Town in London.
Commercial use. I put that in quotes. What was the other one? Recreational use?
Let's prank call him. Let's prank telegraph him.
Yeah. Morse code is cool. Right.
The message is coming in. Do you have Prince Albert in a can?
You better let him.
Wyoming becomes a United States territory today in 1868.
And it was also today in 1909 that
Louis Blériot, help us with this, Julie. We're speaking French and we might choke.
Yeah. Makes his first flight across the English Channel in a heavier-than-air machine from Calais to Dover in 37 minutes.
Also on this date in 1920, the first transatlantic two-way radio broadcast takes place, because those one-ways were not much of a conversation.
Yeah, that's right. And on July 25th, 1925, Telegraph Agency of the Soviet Union, TASS, is established.
An atomic bomb is detonated underwater today in 1946 in the lagoon of the Bikini Atoll. Suddenly, there was a yellow sponge living in a pineapple under the sea.
And also this day is when Godzilla was created.
Keep reading what's on the screen.
56 years ago, 45 miles south of Nantucket Island, the Italian ocean liner SS Andrea Doria collides with the MS Stockholm in heavy fog and sinks the next day, killing 51.
Today in 1959, the SRN-1 hovercraft crosses the English Channel from Calais to Dover, slightly less fast than the other guy earlier, in just over 2 hours. No, I thought it said 2 days. Apparently, he's a lot faster.
Good to see things have improved. And Bob Dylan goes electric as he plugs in the Newport Folk Festival, signaling a major change in folk and rock music 47 years ago today.
The end of an era. Soviet Mars 5 space probe is launched 39 years ago.
And Viking 1 takes the famous Face of Mars photo today in 1976, and I refuse to believe anything else.
Could you take that picture again? He had his eyes closed.
Yeah, he's a blinker.
It was July 25th, 1984, aboard Salyut 7 that cosmonaut Svetlana Savitskaya becomes the first woman to perform a spacewalk.
And 12 years ago, Air France Flight 4590, a Concorde supersonic passenger jet, FBTSC, crashes after takeoff from Paris, killing 109 aboard and 4 on the ground, signaling the end of the Concorde program.
Happy birthday goes on this day to German physician and mathematician Lorenz Christoph Misler, born today in 1711.
And American astronomer Paul J. Weitz, turns 80 today.
He's an astronaut, not an astronomer.
What did I say?
Astronomer.
Well, same difference.
Podcaster and writer Mer Lafferty. Yes, she was on Wikipedia as I pulled this up. I is 39 and will probably forever be 39.
29. And finally, the world's first test tube baby. You got me
Louise.
Louise Brown turns 34.
As a girl. What, you were around where they... Okay, you were around.
I was around. I know.
And that's the way it was, according to us, on this day in history for July 25th, 2012.
Rewriting history to make it safer for you.
Safe for human consumption.
That's right.
News and weather, everyone.
Wow. Blew me away.
Quick announcement, nothing to do with the weather, but it's the only news topic I had this week. We will be doing another live show at Dragon Con Friday night, August 31st. We want you to join us at the Hilton Friday night. We got our old time slot back. Yay!
Yay! And as well as Comedy Forecast, so Clinton Alvord.
And Julie will be joining us.
Ooh, that's Yay! Exciting.
We have one less guest seat.
Yeah, who's going to be the other sucker? I mean, guest.
Clinton's always good for that, right?
That's right.
And he's also asked if we're going to be doing Mistying anything else. And we have an idea that we're going to do a Star Trek original series. I think we mentioned that in an earlier show.
Well, we have an idea. All right. We have an idea what we want to do. How about you email us with suggestions? Maybe we'll pick one of yours.
Pick one of your ugliest, oldest, nastiest Star Trek original series that you'd like us to comment on over.
Well, Chuck, would you be open to anything besides TOS? Well, as long as we can get a hold
movies.
Of it.
Movies are hard to do because of the schedule. We try to fit in a two-hour thing, and we're going to go 1 hour this time.
What, are we down to a sitcom now?
Sketches, 5 minutes or less.
Episode of Seinfeld.
Hacks and Strange Stories.
We have a number of hacks and strange stories this week. First up is paper perfume. That's right. I finally found something I can buy my wife, who adores books. I have no
idea. Paper perfume.
Maybe because she could spray it on the Kindle just so it had the entire book experience.
That's awesome. Because
wait,
mother-in-law, like, her mom loaned her a Kindle, which I've been trying to get her to buy for quite some time. And she's kind of digging it, but it doesn't have that paper smell. So this would be awesome.
Yeah, it's like buying a bottle of new car smell.
We're not sure if this is new book, old book, parchment, papyrus, or what, but
papyrus.
If it smells like book, it's got to be good, right?
Hey, this smells like parchment.
This is called Paper Passion.
Paper Passion.
For book lovers. I wonder if this is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It even comes in a little booky thing. So you open up the book, you know, kind of like where you have the secret liquor bottle or a gun hidden.
Like, when you're putting this in a flask?
Right.
Putting your...
when your paper passion perfume, well, there's an alliteration, runs out, you can put in your Jack Daniels. Or your Doc McGillicuddy's or something.
You won't be reading much.
What is that intoxicating scent you're wearing? It's paper perfume. Oh, it goes with your hospital gown. They'll come up with anything. For $98, I'm not sure. I think just getting the Kindle was expensive enough.
Hey, Chuck, is that hammer mill you're wearing?
No, it's Georgia Pacific.
No, it's Dunder Mifflin.
Fancy guy. I only wear Moleskine. Yeah.
I'm wearing Dunder Mifflin today, thank you.
After 25 years trapped in a woman's stomach, this lost pen still writes. Yes, a 76-year-old female with a blameless medical history other than well-controlled depression was referred for urgent investigation due to weight loss and diarrhea. A flexible sigmoid, you know, one of those endoscope things, demonstrated severe diverticulosis. Boy, I'm not a doctor, and I can't pronounce half the words on TV. And a subsequent
suddenly,
CT...
Suddenly, I don't feel so stupid.
Abdomen... Louis Blériot. CT abdomen showed her linear foreign body in her stomach. but no other abnormality. Her symptoms resolved spontaneously. On subsequent questioning, she recalled unintentionally swallowing a pen 25 years earlier. What were you eating that you unintentionally swallowed a pen? I thought she was having like surgery and a doctor left it in there.
Oh, that would be nasty. Why would you have a pen in the operating room?
You got to write down what you took out so everything goes back in. You
make
don't
a
want
mark
any
on
spare
it.
Parts.
This is where it was attached.
Yeah, put a number 12 by where the stomach goes and a 12 on the stomach so you remember where to put it back.
Julie, have you not heard measure twice, cut once?
Yeah.
So they're making a mark, you know.
Measure.
Yeah.
He's also writing down how much it costs. Because back 25 years ago, they didn't have handheld computers to just punch it in. He's using a Square and an iPhone now. Back then, it was right out the check.
No, now what they do is they slap a QR code on it when they take it out. So they scan it, see
who
it goes
to. Think about the hydrochloric acid in your stomach, man. What was this pen made out of that it lasted 25 years?
It's a space pen. Made out of titanium.
Must be.
It says it was just plastic, wasn't it? Plastic felt tip pen, but it still writes.
Oh, that's nasty.
It still wrote? Is that what it said?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, we were watching a show on Science Channel the other night called Dark Matters, hosted by John Noble, you know, Walter from Fringe. And he covered a story about, what was his name? Not Henri.
It was something French.
Yeah, it was something French, Saint-Martin. And he was in one of the early wars. It wasn't the Revolutionary War.
1812, was it?
Yeah, it might have been the War of 1812. And he was at Fort Mackinac. He was a fur trapper, a Canadian fur trapper, out hunting and whatnot. He got shot in the stomach, and it didn't heal right. So this doctor gained all this notoriety and knowledge by peering through this open window into his stomach. And he would, like, drop in chicken bits and food bits. And he made all kinds of great discoveries about the digestive system, like chewing actually aids it. He noted that things that were chewed and went down through the esophagus digested faster than just dropped into this little portal. So, kind of cool. But pens,
you know,
I don't know.
You know what that reminds me of? Your little story you just told me was, remember the cow ports?
Yes.
Yeah, cow it was like ports? The cow would eat, they had these
they had like a little flap. The holes. Mythbusters got to see one.
Yeah, it's like a hole in the side of a cow that they intentionally put there so they could actually peer into the stomach and see the digestive process.
That is gross.
Yeah, it is.
Well, the chat room is saying plastic doesn't break down. But in acid?
Sure. Huh.
I mean, stomach acids are mostly hydrochloric acid and enzymes. I would think hydrochloric would eat through just about anything.
Especially over that amount of time.
25 years.
Wow.
Okay. Now, for more hacks and strange...
Maybe she can get a sponsorship from Bic. Yeah. Come on. Get some money from this.
Takes a licking and swallowing and digesting for 25 years and keeps on ticking. Oh, that's Timex.
Timex. I'm sure somebody's got a Timex roller.
Oh, that's where my watch went.
Yeah.
Over at needleshop.com, we have another thing related to human organs. This is the human organ transplant lunch cooler. So, if you want to, you know, have a lunch liver with fava beans and a nice Chianti, you can put them in the human organ transplant. Craig's got a clip up there. Are you running the pictures tonight?
Yes, I'm trying to...
It looks like one of those little lunch coolers, but it says human organ transplant, and it's got a six-pack of beer inside, which is lovely.
I expect nobody would steal your beer.
I would hope not.
There we go.
What are we having for lunch, honey? Baboon heart.
I reject it.
Can you imagine opening up the fridge at work and seeing that?
Hey.
It's the EMT, emergency meal transport.
No, Kim and her brother used to work at the animal hospital around the corner from my house, and they routinely would put urine sample on the cups and that they put in their fridge so people wouldn't drink it.
The apple cider?
Oh. Yeah.
So the fecal sample or something. You know.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
On the brownies?
But then don't go in there, you know, and get confused which one was yours.
Yeah.
Nope. No, this is too nutty. Not apple juice.
That's not right.
$19.95. The human organ transplant cooler can be yours. Oh my. I wonder if it comes in other colors.
Oh no. That's what other color? Well, you want it like that.
Well, if that's not good enough for you and you just don't want to do the gross thing, check out the Lego lunchbox also on Needoshop.com for $14.95. It looks like a big old Lego building brick. Now, Julie was wondering if you can stack these things.
Hey, I like the Lego hamburger on the package.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Oh, I didn't even see that at first. I thought those were sesame seeds or something. It is a Lego hamburger. Try crunching that, baby.
Yeah, low calories, but man, it's hard to chew.
Now, this one comes in red and blue. Food and dishwasher safe, perfect for Lego lovers.
Perfect for Lego haters? Like, who else would buy it? Does it really need saying?
Lego haters would throw the brick through a window.
Yeah, you kind of point out the obvious there, Chuck.
I'm just reading the marketing material.
Hey, by the way, going back to the EMT transport
bag,
I'm sure that would not cause you any trouble if you try to take it through the airport.
Oh, that would be awful.
Yeah.
Really, well, you could, it's one just of two my things,
lunch. One of two things will happen. They'll hassle you or they'll give you priority seating.
What's in this sandwich? Liverwurst.
That's the worst liver I've ever seen.
Well, it was pate. Well, I don't care whose it was, Patty or whoever.
Have a heart. See, really? All right.
Cow tongue. Let's turn to the Remember When.
Yes.
Segment, we have what could be the world's first computer-generated animation. This kind of reminds me of the on Wrath of Khan, where they're showing the Genesis project. Simply put, Genesis is life from lifelessness. It's got an orbiting wireframe globe
brick,
and then around it, orbiting around it, is this brick which eventually stabilizes in orbit. And there's a narration over it, which goes into the whole whys of gravitational torque and why the moon is tidally locked to us, showing the same face to us. It's almost impossible to pin down where the first computer animation was created, given several companies and research facilities were dabbling in the medium at the same time. But AT&T, formerly Bell Labs, and others believe this simple clip dating back to 1963... Craig's got that baby cranked up. Yeah. On the video. That's nice. Could be indeed the world's first CG animation. Not surprisingly, the animated clip isn't exactly a T-Rex dismantling an SUV. Instead, its creator from Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah, right. Gotcha.
Yeah. Pixar was hard at work in the 60s. Now, it was trying to model
a Toy Story in that kind of animation.
Simulate the motions of a satellite orbiting the planet. So the results are basically a wireframe rectangle circling a wireframe sphere. Back in 63, this was revolutionary accomplishment. Programmed in Fortran in a time when punch cards were still the norm. Yay, punch cards. And rendered, in quotes, on an old IBM 7090 and 7094 computers, the results were then printed frame by frame onto microfilm, where they could then be watched in real time via a projector. This wasn't even on, like, an old CRT.
Imagine how long that would take.
It's not the most exciting animated adventure, but it's lacking everything from anti-aliasing to motion blur. But back in the day, this was sophisticated computer animation. This is as sophisticated as computer animation could be.
Actually, you know what I first thought when I saw it? The Death Star. You know, Star Wars?
You thought Star Wars, I thought Star Trek. That's pretty telling, Craig.
Well, no. I mean, that looks like the stuff they got off R2, you know? You know, they're showing the trench run.
Simply put, the Death Star is lifelessness from life.
The Death Star. Wow, I wonder if you detonated the Genesis tube or missile, whatever.
On the Death Star.
Yeah.
It annihilate it. Hey, I created a planet out of the Motara Nebula. What else could you ask for?
No kidding, yeah.
Now we can do both at once.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. Be right back with the Media Corner, where we will talk about, new Star Trek of all things, and a little bit about the new Batman movie, because Julie and I went to go see it. Be right back.
New Matrix? What?
The Flashbulb Podcast, 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you thrice weekly. From cosmic horrors to fisticuffs, fast cars, and smart mouths, we've got a chill for every spine. Find it all at flashbulb.com or search for it on iTunes.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner. Whoa.
Hey, we just found out that the new Star Trek TV show, which is getting rumors in life again, could be an animated series. I love the old animated series. New Star Trek TV show is looking slightly more likely than it was a little while ago, judging from the slightly cryptic interview movie producer Robert Orci gave Trek Movie the other day. Orci says, "The talks over Trek television show aren't real yet, but they're almost real." Is that kind of like being almost dead? Mostly dead? He's mostly dead.
Well, I do have a little insight in this because I've actually read all these interviews with him.
Go ahead.
What he's saying was between CBS and I guess their production company, because there's a lot more people involved now. You got Bad Robot, you got Paramount, you got CBS, and of course, I guess Viacom's in there somewhere. So they're all, you know, in agreement. Yeah, we should do a show, and they've kind of had the intent that we should talk about it at some point, not necessarily committing to a particular, you know, episodic. Theme, here's what we're going to do, but more like, yes, this sounds interesting, we'll talk about it. And that's about the commitment they've gotten from it. You know, some notes passed back and forth through in many areas is what he said.
So they'd be using the new movie characters and voices?
They don't know. Actually, I think that was what he was wanting to do, was actually do an animated with
Christopher
characters
Pine
that they have
and,
now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, with the characters they have now. Because it's separated enough, you know, because it's animated and everything is, you know, it's separate enough. It wouldn't take away from the movies. But any live action TV show, I think they want to do separate with, you know, a different theme or something. I'm just, you know, of course, I'm just kind of speculating a little bit, but
we shall see. I think it's kind of exciting.
I would love to see an animated series. You know, I would love to just have a podcast with those voices.
With what voices?
The people off the movie.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what if you just did a podcast? I mean, how hard would that be to line up? You know, but it'd be cool to have a podcast, audio podcast, you know, and with the same people doing the voices. And that's not unprecedented, because remember the old 45s that had the stories, and it had like William Shatner and DeForest Kelly.
Everybody.
Yeah. Those were primitive podcasts.
In a way, yeah. We used to listen to those in third grade. If we finished our homework, we had like a little reading area with a record player.
Yeah.
And as a throwback, here's something. Donna got, where did she get all those?
Her friend.
Yeah, she had a friend that was like cleaning out a garage or something and had handed her probably 100 LPs, vinyl LPs. They're sitting in our mudroom right now. And I thumbed through them and I came across, there's all kinds of stuff in there. Simon and Garfunkel, Rod Stewart, Conway Twitty, Christmas albums. There's a couple of classics. But there's one gem that I remember called Mr. Jaws. It was a comedy parody thing made after Jaws. Remember when they would take like songs? We're here at the beach to talk to this man about a shark attack. And then they'd ask a question and they'd slip in lyrics from a song.
You know, really?
What?
I think I'm not familiar with this.
Did you cry out? I can't remember the exact lyrics. I'd have to go back and listen to it, but it was something like, "Did you cry out in pain when the shark bit you?" And they'd play, "Big boy, stay quiet. Big boy, stay quiet."
I think you should digitize this. I need to hear this.
I have to. I'm seriously looking for a USB turntable because
they got
my regular
good
analog one, the belt broke. It actually rotted away and deteriorated.
Hey, rubber band.
I tried that. It's not consistent enough. And
it's a little too elasticy.
And it's too tight. It actually, it doesn't have the right friction on the
drive. Put a lighter
on
it. I'm just kidding.
Anyway, we're working on that, and I'll see if I can get that played in like in a before or after show or something.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Lots of vinyl. I got to see what condition it's in. I haven't opened many of them up. But there's some gems in there. There's like some old Elton John and whatnot. So, wow, we went from Star Trek to Elton John. That was kind of cool.
Well, anyway, getting back to my point, I would love to see some audio podcast with the cast. Who did I sent a note to somebody, not that they ever read it, I'm sure. I think maybe it was Josh Whedon. I was like, well, do some audio podcasts of Firefly. That'd be awesome.
That would be fun, since those people are still around.
Yeah.
Just to listen to Jane go.
Yeah. I mean, I figure something like that you can fit into an actor's schedule, like Nathan Fillion. He's always on something, you know, he's in Castle and all that. So I figured, you know, something like that you could easily fit in, and then people would eat that up.
He spends a lot of time riding around on vans going, a man's gotta do.
Yeah, I did see, hey, by the way, I did watch Super with Rainn Wilson and Ellen Page.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
No.
It's pretty graphic. Well, it's bloody. I should say that. The special effects are a little bit iffy, but and he was in there as a Christian superhero. Nathan Fillion was as a Christian superhero. It was on TV, and he had this long hair. You know, he had a mask on like a superhero, but he had this long hair. It looked like a literally woman's hair going down his shoulders. It was
wow.
Yep, that was a strange movie, but I think I liked it.
You think you liked it?
Yeah. I mean, I was getting the themes, but it had Kevin Bacon in it and Liv Tyler. And I can't remember that one guy's name. It's kind of a tough guy.
Hey, we just watched Hulk today. She was in that. Remember?
Yes. I thought she was fine. Actually, I'll go through that again. I like the Hulk movies.
Julie thought it moved a little slow. So I think we've got all our backstory, right? All our backstory movies from the Avengers?
I think so.
Because I was, we're
unless they did one on Black Widow or Hawkeye that we didn't know about.
Okay. I'm not sure, but I think Hawkeye, the actor who plays Hawkeye, is in the new Born Ultimatum movie.
Jeremy.
I'll have to double check that one. We were just watching
Jeremy,
trailers.
What's his name?
Oh yeah.
All right. Mine's blank.
Let's turn to the Geek Library, where we have the numbers, and now that Comic-Con is over, we have the numbers of what happened and what you could see, and probably what similar to what you could expect to see at Dragon Con. We have 15 300-pound Wolverines.
How many regular-sized Wolverines were there then?
Yeah, sub-300. How many were there?
Julie, would you like to take some of these?
Yeah, 10,500 cans of Mountain Dew Code Red, which at that point, why wouldn't you just switch to the 20-ounce bottles?
Yeah, kind of half that number.
118,646 zombies. Craig, you might like this one. Photo ops passed up by Stan Lee, 0.
That's awesome.
Oh, I like the men wearing fanny packs and pretending they were utility belts, 95.
Can't you just picture like the comic book guy from The Simpsons?
It is not a fanny pack. It is a utility belt.
I beg to differ.
2,000 Bazinga t-shirts.
I can see I'm that.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
136 fluent Elvish speakers. I think that's a little low.
6,225 lost inhalers. This sounds like a bad version of 12 Days of Christmas.
Hey, I can see the janitor sweeping up after everybody's gone, and there's like all these inhalers on the ground.
Thousands of
but
inhalers.
You'll find no used deodorant containers.
Eesh. Hey, I do want to, you know, you about the Stan Lee photo op thing you mentioned a moment ago.
Yes.
I do want to give props to Nathan Fillion. If this is true, I've only seen the picture of the card, but he had... you know, he's going from panel to panel, and people are always wanting to stop and take a picture with him, and he'll do it which is really cool. But he was, he said with on this card, he was handing out these cards, and the cards said something to the effect that, you know, Comic-Con has unique restraints on my time, and I would love to take pictures with everybody, but I can't. I apologize. Please take this. See my autograph written inside, and it's like inside the card. There's his autograph.
Yeah,
and it says, "Tell people that we met, we talked, had a laugh. I'll back you up." So he's passing those out. I only saw one, but I thought, wow, that's pretty awesome. I would like to think that he was doing that, because I know he's a busy guy.
I think one of my favorites was 200 costumes that might have been Big Barda, Loki, or the Honey No Cheerios bee. We're not sure because it was so bad.
You know, there
is something on their heads.
Yeah.
Could have been just Deedly Boppers.
Everything has a fan somewhere, right?
Honey Nut Cheerios bee? Sure, why not?
You will find out soon enough.
Yeah.
Also in the Geek Library, we have a how-to from Makezine. This is pretty cool. This is an old crystal radio set using a beer bottle to wind the magnetic wire around. But pretty easy to put together. They go through step-by-step on this video. How to wind the wire on the bottle, the diode, the resistor, the earpiece, the whole thing. It is a batteryless, powerless AM radio set that you can build.
Radio Shack had a kit like this a long time ago, didn't they?
Did they really? Was it a home built, or did they like assemble pieces for you already?
No, it was a kit, and you know, I think the little the tube with the copper rounding on it.
Yeah.
I think that was already put together for you, but. Because, you know, it's kind of tedious to sit there and do. But
well, yeah,
but they had all the
beer bottle pieces. Is cool.
It is cool. No, this is awesome. I mean, a radio does not take much to put together, but this is really cool. And, but I wonder, because of today's digital, does it get the digital FM?
No, this is just AM. Crystal radio technology has been around for many years. This bottle radio, as they called it, takes crystal radio, requires no power source, operates on the power from radio waves, and receives a signal from long wire antenna. As radio stations slowly move away from AM band, the window of opportunity to experience this remarkable technology is dwindling. The crystal in question is contained inside a germanium diode and is used to rectify the radio signal so that our ears can hear it. That's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm half tempted to try and build one of these.
Yeah, maybe we both should and report back.
I want to. Where do you buy germanium diodes? You can probably buy one. I don't know. Radio Shack doesn't have pieces and parts like they used to.
Really?
Wait a minute. The internet.
Yeah, the internet.
So you're gonna buy this 3-cent part and probably pay $5 shipping.
It's a 3-cent part.
Germanium diodes aren't expensive at all. Really? I'd be surprised if it was even that.
I'm trying to figure out if there's still a market for AM radio.
I know there are AM stations around here. Yes.
I mean, you know, I used to work at one. I hate that they're not around as much, but I wonder.
Yeah, why aren't they?
There's a very popular WTMJ out of Milwaukee that does a lot of sports casts. And I would suspect, well, maybe not. I was thinking weather reports and weather stations and whatnot, but lightning interferes with the AM broadcast, so
if you go under a bridge,
yeah. If you can't hear the station, the storm is really bad.
Yeah. I think it's kind of sad some of the stuff goes away, but you know, I know time moves on. Everything can't stay the same, but it sucks.
Wait a minute, we skipped over the Batman thing, Julie. We didn't even talk about the movie.
I was gonna bring it back into it.
Okay, well, we talked a bit about the movie.
Okay. Julie, did you like the Batman movie?
Yes, I thought it was awesome.
Did you see the other two?
I saw the first one. I don't know if I saw the other.
Did you see the Joker one?
Yeah.
Okay, so you saw the second one.
Okay.
All right. Did you like it better than that one?
No, about equally. But Batman's not my favorite superhero because he's not even a superhero.
Well, that brings up an interesting discussion. Who is your superhero?
Well, wait a minute, that's why I kind of like him, because he doesn't have superpowers, yet he works to, you know, make himself have enough gumption to do the right thing.
He definitely didn't have any superpowers at the beginning of this one. He was a hobbling old, worn-out cripple guy.
No spoilers.
That was pretty obvious from the trailers, I thought.
Yes, I figured. I know.
When he's walking around with a cane and he's hobbling around. So, you could make a drinking game out of the last 10 minutes every time they showed Anne Hathaway's butt on his motorcycle.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So there's an incentive for Craig to go.
Yeah.
Lisa thought Anne's hips were a little wide. I thought they were very nice, but that's...
Oh no, she went to the midnight showing, the first one.
Yeah.
And she came back and she goes, "Catwoman is a fox."
Oh, is that what she said?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Hard to believe that's the same girl from Princess Diaries a few years ago.
Yeah.
She does a pretty decent job.
So on a scale of 1 to Avengers, what is it?
What kind of a scale is that?
It's like when you're talking about sci-fi,
I'm asking 1 to con.
You're comparing DC with Marvel, so, you know, it's apples to oranges.
On a
there.
Scale from 1 to Avengers, it's about 2.5 feet.
Mm-hmm. I say left. Scale. Left.
You're going to measure. All right, so y'all would recommend it.
I thought it was good. Lisa saw it twice. She didn't really care for it. She was making smart aleck comments for the... she was mistying it, actually. So the order of the seating was, I'm on the left, then Julie to my right, then Lisa to her right, then Lisa's boyfriend. And all of a sudden, Julie starts cracking up at these weird moments. Like when Catwoman gets in the car with Batman... And they're flying around in his little flying airplane car thing.
It's not a car.
Right. You've seen it from the trailers. Did you see the Jimmy Kimmel version of that when he did Pee-wee Herman's voiceover? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a car?
So Lisa leans over to me and she goes, I can show you the world. And once I've regained my composure, I pass that along to Dad.
Yeah, I'm watching. There's like they're flying around, and all of a sudden, Julie's cracking up next to me. I said, "What are you laughing at?" And she tells me that was pretty funny. So yeah, that's look funny. For opportunities. I guess Lisa didn't think it was so exciting the second time around, but I thought Bane sounded an awful lot like Sean Connery.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's
got the mask on now. Think
His
about
voice
that.
Didn't sound too threatening at the beginning, but. Like Lisa said, by the end, it was a scary voice.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's a nuclear bomb that nobody can disarm.
Hey, no spoilers.
Come on, man. I hate talking to you guys after a movie.
Yeah, usually you're the one.
I don't give spoilers, Al.
Now, let's all have a party and play soccer or something.
Something. Hey,
where's Bruce Wayne? We need some drinks.
Hey, me and Harrison went to see the Pirates, the Band of Misfits, today.
You did? What was that about? That one?
And, you know, it's from Aardman, the same people that do Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, you know, yeah. Pirate. Okay.
Yeah, we saw it in the Dollar Theater, and I enjoyed it. It probably wasn't the strongest movie I've seen from them, but yeah, it was good. Spot on.
We found a t-shirt over at threadpower.com. That has a Bane kitty on it that says, when Gotham is ashes, and it's spelled, you know, like in the I Can Has Cheeseburger style, I-Z-A-S-H-E-Z. Right. When Gotham is ashes, you has my permission to die, saying Bane kitty, which is a line from the movie.
When Gotham is ashes, you have my permission to die.
Not spoiler alert, but hint. I spotted the villain really early in the story. We kind of do that with Bones, too, don't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
We try and spot the bad
based
person.
On the lighting and the music
and
the
timing
work
of the show.
Yeah.
Is it 30 minutes in? Yeah, they stopped doing that, though. I think everybody figured it out. That the villain on Bones usually comes in at about 30 minutes into the show.
If it's on 30 minutes, whoever's on the screen opposite Booth or Bones, that's the killer.
Time to get new writers.
But, yeah, if you've seen the movie, I was not surprised. So that was a bit of a letdown for me. The story was, in general, pretty darn good. The action was, you know, right up there. The animation was great. The gadgets and the gizmos and things. But
the suspense, always the suspense.
Did you feel it was always suspenseful?
At the end, especially, like...
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, it's here. No, it's not here. Oh my gosh, we have 2 minutes left. And yeah. It was suspense.
Y'all are going to ruin this for me. I'm just going to go see it on, read it, watch it online now.
All right. Finally, we're going to go back to the Geek Library because we got like 2 minutes left. You too can earn college credits looking for alien life for free. As crazy as that sounds.
I do it for free now.
Watch this, guys.
Starting in January, the University of Edinburgh will be offering a course on the search for extraterrestrial life. Best of all, you can take the course online for free. Charles Cockle, professor of astrobiology at U of Edinburgh and director of the UK Centre for... I am just making fun of the spelling. The UK Centre... Nice graphic there, Craig. The UK Centre for Astrobiology is offering the course Astrobiology and the Search for Extraterrestrial Life. I could probably... try a better Scottish accent than that, but...
Oh, that was Scottish?
No, that was just a 1960s thing. In January 2013, thanks to Stanford University's Coursera Consortium, well, that sounds awkward, like a typo, of which the University of Edinburgh is a member, even those of us who don't reside in Scotland can take the 5-week, 10-lecture course. Sadly for students at the university, no college credit is available for this course. This kind of reminds me of SETI at Home. Take the course. It's free. Yeah. You do our research for us.
Hey, wait a minute. I wonder if I can get back credits for all those screensavers I had running.
You get no credits. That's the whole point.
Remember that guy at the college ran the SETI screensavers, and he actually got in trouble for it? For eating up the university computer time and bandwidth?
Nice.
You don't remember that?
I don't remember that.
We talked to... the gentleman from SETI, and we brought it up.
Oh, yeah, Seth Shostak.
Yeah, the guy was liable for, I forget how much.
I don't remember that story. I'm going to go back and listen.
Yeah, go back and listen to our own podcast, Chuck.
Hey, I just say it. I don't listen to it. I don't remember what I say.
You get a nifty hat like Gunter?
No, but I do have a KPMG hat now, like Phil Mickelson.
Do you now?
It doesn't make me a better golfer, though.
Darn.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That brings
money
us
well
to...
Money well spent, huh?
It was free. Ah.
Oh, well, there you go.
That brings us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Email us at technorama@chuckchat.com or follow us on Twitter. All this stuff and more is available over at the website on chuckchat.com. You guessed it. Julie, did you have a good time?
Yes, I did.
How's it feel being back in the seat?
It's great. I can stay up late and I can sleep in the morning.
Just like college. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I just
what's
don't
this different from any other time?
Special thanks to Matt Marr for providing all the great blog content. We also want to thank everyone who sent us a link during the week. Thank you for those of us who join us on the Hangout in the chat room, and thank you for downloading and listening. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media and all the great podcasts over there. If you're subscribing the old-fashioned way by listening to the show on the website, hey, you know, we got this Google Plus thing. You can see the Hangout on YouTube practically right away, but it's usually up on Wednesday with the rest of the podcast. And don't forget, Dragon Con, Friday night. We want to see you there. Show up. We have lots of interesting, and I use interesting loosely here, interesting things for the live show. Till next time, tell a friend or tell anyone you meet about Technorama. And as always, give me a binary high five.
101. Oh, I was going to let you do it, Julie.
Oh, 101.
101. All right, I'm stopping the recording.
Oh, yeah, maybe I should too.